Okay, open up your Bibles to John chapter 3, and we're going to take communion. Could I have a couple people come and help me with the elements, and we'll... This Bible is going to fall apart. John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In the book of Numbers, in chapter 21, it talks about the children of Israel, when they sinned against God, they got bit by serpents. And so then they went to Moses and asked them to pray to God for them, ask him what to do. So God told Moses to make a bronze serpent. This is significant. That bronze is significant a sin in the Bible. Yeah. So he made that bronze serpent and lifted it up on the pole. And God told the children to look at that bronze serpent. And the ones that looked at that bronze serpent got healed. Today, when we look to Jesus and we see our sins and our sicknesses laid on him, we can get healing in our bodies. But we need to look to Jesus. That means we need to look away from the pain. We need to look away from the bad report. We need to look away from how it may feel. We need to look away from what everybody says and look to Jesus. See, people can be healed of even terminal illnesses. I've seen people show up in different places that said, you know, the doctor said they had this or that, and the name was long and scary. And they said they just have a little bit of time left. And they prayed and they focused on Jesus and they lived. See, the truth will always rule over the facts. See, doctors operate by natural facts. What they've seen, what they've heard, what they've smelled, tasted, touched, by what they've learned, by actual laying hands on in the world. But the truth is, with the long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's the truth. And the truth is that by his stripes you were healed. That's the truth. And the truth always trumps the facts. We have to draw a line in the sand and decide which report we're going to believe. Are we going to believe the report of the world, or are we going to believe the report of God? So when we look at this bread, we're looking at the body of Christ. I want you to see his sacrifice. See how he had stripes in his back. And that it's by those stripes that we were healed. And how his body was pierced and he shed his blood for us. And how he got on the cross and he took the sins of the whole world. He took the fiery wrath of God upon him. And it's because of his broken body, his bruised body, that we're taking this, and we remember his sacrifice. And we thank you for this. As we look unto you, Jesus, we can expect healing in our bodies. The blood of Jesus gets taken too lightly. We understand that it's because of the blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven, but we need to also understand that it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can have protection over our lives. We can have protection over our families. We can have protection over our jobs, our finances. In case you didn't know, this country's under siege. We have reason to plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves, over our families, and over our property. That's not something that we need to take lightly. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We can receive His protection. You know, you should tell God that you need His protection. And you should ask Him to protect you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this. Book of Job, chapter 5, and we were there last Sunday, and we spent all Sunday there, but we're just going to touch on it, and we're going to leave there. We're not going to spend all day in that one chapter, but Job, chapter 5, verse 19, says, "He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, there shall be no evil touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine, you shall laugh. Neither shall you be afraid of the beasts of the earth." Now, you can take that literally. And the way you do that is you thank Him for it. You thank Him for protecting you from 6 troubles. You thank Him for delivering you from the snare of the fowler. Before you get caught in the snare of the fowler. But that Jesus showed us the key to answered prayer when he got to Lazarus' tomb, and he said, "Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers." He thanked his way into miracle. When he fed the multitudes at the lakeshore, he thanked God for what he had, and God multiplied that sack lunch to feed a multitude. But he gave thanks for what he already had. He didn't ask for what he needed. He gave thanks for what he had, and God multiplied it. Now look over to Psalm chapter 91. This is a good psalm. You can pray this as a prayer. You can do it every day if you want. You can do it, you know, when you sense danger. However you feel, but personalize it. But Psalm chapter 91 is really a protective psalm. If you're going to travel, this would be a good one to claim over your life. I often wonder how many people are living in fear because of what's going on in the border. I mean, that's a legitimate thing that's happening down there. When you literally have millions of people crossing illegally over the border, something's not right. And we know that all those people aren't coming up here singing Kumbaya, carrying flowers and cookies. You need to understand that not everybody you encounter has your best interest on their mind. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but not everybody in churches has your best interest in mind. They say, you need to get some of these scriptures in your heart so you can say them once in a while. You know, Jesus, he was tempted by the devil. And Jesus said, it is written. Did you know he did that? Every time he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It would be a good thing for you to have 3 it is writtens on your heart so that you can remind the devil who he's dealing with. But Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God is in him will I trust. How do we make him our refuge and our fortress? By running to him, counting on him, asking him to protect you, asking him to shelter you. Too many times we try to figure stuff out on our own. We try to wheel it through, we're going to get by somehow. Go to God. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to protect you. Go to his word and take his word and put it in the atmosphere. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, when we fall into those traps, it's important to cry out to God, just like Peter did when he started sinking. He cried out to Jesus, save me. But here's something. We can cry out to Jesus before we get our foot in the snare. You know, he gave us these angels. He gave these angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways so that we don't dash our foot against a stone. Now, how are these angels going to do that? They need our cooperation. You know, we can't just go weebling and wobbling out there and expect not to have any trouble, because we're going to have trouble. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But if we'll take his word, the same way Jesus did, say, it is written, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. What did you just do? You took God's word and you put it in the atmosphere, and those angels hearken unto the voice of his word. Now there's an attitude going on that the angels hearken unto God. And they do, they better. Some of them disobeyed and they got in big trouble. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says these angels hearken unto the voice of his word. That means when you take his word and you speak it into the atmosphere in faith, you just gave these angels a mission. You gave them a job. Now, they have to go out there and make sure that God's word gets performed on your behalf. Too many people are walking around, stumbling through life, and they have their angels sitting on the bench because they won't speak God's word out into the atmosphere. They won't put voice to his word and give those angels something to do. Worse yet, they may use the devil's words. Well, guess what? When you use the devil's words, he just gave him a job. You know, there's some sayings floating around, and I hear church people say it all the time. They say, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. Well, if you want to stop being broke, stop saying that. I'm so sick I can't hardly get up and go to work anymore. You're not going to go to work if you don't quit saying that. You're not going to get over your sickness. You keep claiming the devil's words over your life, you're not going to get better. And people claim sicknesses. Some people really take pride in it. I'll run into them and I'll say, how's things going? I'll say, well, I've got this. They'll memorize the name of this cancer. And they'll say, I've got it. You just laid claim to it. We don't want to do that. We don't want to lay claim to the curse. We want to lay claim to the promises of God. Now, it may be a natural fact that your body has been attacked with some sicknesses, but don't claim it. Don't claim it. Don't take it. Don't make it yours. Take the word of God and say, you know, I've been attacked. That's the truth. But by his stripes, I was healed. And he delivers me from the snare of the fowler. Sometimes Christians got to come up with a little bit more fight. And not just give in to every whim of the devil. Verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with your eyes shall ye behold and see the reward of the wicked. It seems like every time we turn around, the devil has a new sickness that he's promoting. And he'll put it on the airwaves. I just seen the new... They have a new COVID bug. I can't remember what they called it, but I mean, I just seen they had a new one, and they're promoting that one. They're trying to make believers out of that one, trying to get as many people into believing that one. You know, people will believe sicknesses onto themselves. I've watched people do this. I said, well, my dad died of heart disease when he was 45. My grandpa died of heart disease when he was 45. My mom had heart disease. My uncle had heart disease. I'm going to have heart disease. I know it. I said, well, you don't have to believe for it. There are generational curses that hit people. But you don't have to participate in it. The buck stops with you. You know, I bought into the lie when I was a kid. I had people tell me, said, your dad's an alcoholic, your brother's an alcoholic, your sister's an alcoholic, you're going to be an alcoholic. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I was an alcoholic. I was raging drunk by the time I could drink a half pint of whiskey in three swallows when I was in seventh grade. I mean, I bought into the lie. But that's what I heard. And I heard it over and over and over again until I believed it. But then I ran into God, and Jesus saved me, and I started reading the Bible, and I started hearing what the Bible said about me, and I decided, hey, I like this report a whole lot better than the report I've been hearing. So I started believing that report, but I started saying these things over and over and over again. Now here's the thing. I started saying them, and I didn't believe it. I thought, this is crazy. I would say something about myself that the Bible said, and I said, man, yeah, that ain't me. And I'd say it again, and then I'd say it again, and then finally I got a revelation of it. Hey, that's true. Forgiveness was one of those things. I had a really, really, really hard time believing that I was forgiven. Because I didn't feel like I was forgiven, as if our feelings have anything to do with it. We're not to be led by our feelings. We're supposed to be led by faith. So I had to have that fight with the devil. I had to sit there with my Bible open to that verse where it says, I've been forgiven. And I'd have to say, I have been forgiven over and over and over again. Until finally, my feelings lined up with what the Word of God said. Don't ever let your experience with God be led by feelings. Let it be led by the Word of God. And if you have to have that fight, then you do it. You sit there and you read that verse over and over and over and over again until you finally get it in your heart. There's too many Christians running around thinking that we're just here and the devil's going to do whatever he wants to get away with until we get to heaven. And we're just going to drag along. No, that's not true. God gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Jesus did that. He gave us the authority over the devil. But if we don't know that we have that authority, we're not going to operate in it. One thing that the Bible tells us said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is your heritage as a servant of the Lord, and your righteousness is of the Lord. That's something that you need to say every once in a while. Because there's a lot of people that are saying bad things about you. There's a lot of people that are saying untrue things about you. And here's an important thing for you to understand. Don't you get caught saying false things about other Christians. Don't you get caught saying untrue things about other Christians. And here's the thing. That Christian might know verses like that. He might know those verses, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to come bumping up against that scripture, and you're not going to like it. But you need to get these verses in your heart, and you need to speak them into the atmosphere. Give those angels a job. The Lord causes your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You know, we don't live in a real peaceful world right now. The devil is being defeated, but I want you to know that he's going to cause as much havoc as he can possibly cause before he's done. And you cannot afford to sit there and wait for somebody to come save you. You have to get actively involved. I know you're born again. Praise God. But salvation is not just born again. Salvation includes deliverance. I mean, right here and right now in this world that we're in includes deliverance. But if we don't take those promises of God and speak them out of our mouth, get them out there so the angels have something to do, they're not going to do anything. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous for you to take the position that the children of Israel did in Numbers 21, where they went and asked God to pray, or went and asked Moses to pray for them. It's good to have your pastor pray for you, but you need to get busy. You need to be speaking his word over your life. You should walk around meditating on these things. You know, God told Abraham, I actually had a Christian get mad at me for saying this one time, but this is a legitimate promise for Christians, not the Israelites, for Christians. God told Abraham, said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. That's one of those verses that I say all the time. Why? I am the seed of Abraham. The Bible tells me that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Did you notice those lights got darker? Yeah. There's strange things happening today. The internet's all weird. People are all weird. Lights are all weird. But here's the thing. God gives you all these tools, all of these weapons, all of this armor for your protection. But if you won't pick those up, guess whose fault that is? God protect me from that. He did. I mean, he literally put his own son on the cross and shed his blood. And he gave you all these promises. He gave you the blood of Jesus. He gave you the name of Jesus. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you the armor of God. Why didn't you put it on? I mean, we do have some responsibility in this. I know Jesus, he did all the hard work. All we have to do is just accept the things that he's freely given us, take those as our own, thank him for it, and operate in them. Walk around and say, thank you, Father. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord. You might have to spend just a little bit of time looking at those verses so you can get them memorized enough, so you get them in your heart so that you can walk around and say them. But you should have a few "it is written." The devil tells you you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills. It is written that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, we have to talk. We have to get something in our heart so we can get it in our mouth. The same way you got born again. You heard some preachers say that if you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And you believed that, and then you confessed Jesus to be your Lord, you got saved. Absolutely everything else that you're ever going to receive from heaven is going to happen the same exact way. You're going to believe it in your heart, and then you confess it with your mouth. Too many times, I run into people and they want prayer and they need prayer and I'm eager to pray for them, but I try to locate people. I want to make sure that I'm not praying for a miracle when this guy is praying that things go well at the hospital. See, we need to be on the same path. It's important to locate yourself too. It's important to locate people. Find out a little bit about them. I mean, you're going to have to shut your mouth, stop talking about everything you know, and listen to what they have to say so that you can find out where they're standing spiritually. You know, sometimes people will say, you know, I don't really know. So we need to have a little bit of scripture to give to them, to help them, so that we can find some common ground that we can agree on. Amen. Sometimes people are going to go to the doctor. So we ask God to help that doctor make anointed decisions so that this man can be healed of whatever has attacked him. Some people get mad at me. I had a lady come up to me and say, "Are you preaching Christian Science?" I said, "No." So, you know, like doctor, I said, "I didn't say that." I said, "God's best for you is to receive from Him." But if you need some medical attention to help you along, I'll agree with you that you're going to get well. Amen? You'll know. But it doesn't take a whole bunch of Bible teaching to build up a massive amount of faith. It just needs to take that word and mix it with a little bit of faith. I taught a simple little Bible study for just a few months. And this lady came up to me, and she had been on dialysis for years. She came up to me and she said, "I'm tired of this." I said, "I bet." She said, "I think I'm going to get off of this." I said, "What are you standing on?" She said, "I want you to agree with me." Now, I knew at that moment she had her faith sunk in the sand, and she knew that God had this handled. All I had to do is say, "I agree with you, sister." She walked away from that dialysis machine and she never looked back. That's amazing. That's God. But she meditated on His word long enough to where she had "it is written" that she could definitely speak out there, and she got her victory. Those are the kinds of things that God's word will do for you when you put it in your heart and then you put it into the atmosphere. We have a Heavenly Father who is the God of impossibilities. He can protect us, He can provide for us, and He will protect us, and He will provide for us in the most impossible circumstances. But it's like that saying goes. The Holy Spirit will help you mow the lawn. And the Holy Spirit will help you take a nap in the hammock. The Holy Spirit will, however, He will not mow the lawn while you take a nap in the hammock. You're going to be yoked with Him. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said His burden is light. It's not a hard duty. But we do have to get our mouth in gear. You're going to say something. People are good at running their mouth. And they're going to say something. This will be the Word of God, don't you think? You just want to say what God says about you. I was so glad when my wife shut that TV off. I didn't have a TV when I got married, and she insisted on a TV. So we got TV, and I thought, man, I'm going to go nuts with this. And finally, she looked at me and said, "I'm tired of the propaganda. Let's shut this thing off." Hallelujah. Get rid of that. Stop listening to that stuff. Listen to what God says about you. His word is the truth. It's amazing how much the Word of God will change people. Sometimes they're almost not even recognizable to what they were before. There was a guy that I really liked. He was a really good friend of mine. He was special to my heart. And he got in trouble. He got strung out on methamphetamine. And he would stand away from me. He knew I wasn't. And he didn't want to be around anybody that wasn't. And he stayed far away from me. But I'd see people that knew him every once in a while. I'd say, you tell this guy that I'm praying for him. And I prayed for him diligently. And I prayed for him, and I prayed for him. And then one day I got a release, and I got it in my heart. And God let me know and said, this guy's all right. And I said, okay. And I didn't have any contact with him for years and years. And then all of a sudden, he showed up on Facebook. So I friended him. And I seen a picture of him one day on Facebook. And I said, you know something, man? You look like a pastor. And he said, I am. Don't hold the word of God lightly. Don't look at how impossible the situation may seem. Don't look at how hard the challenge might be. Look to Jesus. Fill your mouth with the word of God and look to Him. We're not supposed to carry the burdens of the world around on our shoulders. And if the Christian walk seems to be a burden to you and it seems to be a hard thing to you, you need to stop and cast your cares over onto Jesus. Because what you're really trying to do is earn your own righteousness, and that's not going to work. God wants you to live in a state of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. See, he did tell you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When you understand that your righteousness is of Him, that's going to cause you to live in a state where you do have love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean that there's not going to be chaos around you? Does that mean there's not going to be drama around you? Does that mean there's not going to be somebody just throwing some kind of stupid fit over absolutely nothing around you? No, you are in this world for a reason. You weren't born 100 years too late. You were born for this particular time and day. And you're the only one that can fulfill your destiny. You have a special mission from God. You've been made a priest and a king. You've been made a minister of the highest rank. And He designed you for this particular time and place. And you're the only one that can fill your job. Don't take it lightly. Be excited. We live in an exciting time. A very exciting time. I run into people all the time that are getting gloomy and getting depressed and getting worried and living in fear. They say, don't you know the banks are about ready to fail? This one already failed. Don't you know that this bank's going to fail? Yeah, praise God. They look at me like I'm crazy. Well, don't you care? I say, yeah, I care. I want that to go away. That's an evil system run by evil people. We need to get set free. We've been held in this evil bondage all of our lives. There's not a single person on the face of this earth that has ever lived in true freedom. But we got the Constitution. I said, you're in bondage. You might actually compare where we're at right now to the children in Egypt. They had a covenant with God and they lived their lives in bondage. We have a Constitution and we live our lives in bondage. But God is in the process of setting us free as we speak. Praise God every day. Praise God every day. But don't be shook up when these big banks go away. Shout hallelujah every time one of them goes down. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for our freedom in Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you are setting straight what has been wrong for a long time. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as your children, we're going to walk through this and we're going to be just fine. We're going to live in true freedom. We're going to live in true joy. We're going to live in true peace. And we thank you, Father, that Jesus' kingdom that he is the head of will be established on this earth once and for all. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, we have the most incredible cake back here and a fellowship. Come on back and have some.